This is the LA Local Evening Update, keeping you caught up with the latest from KNX News. Check back each weekday afternoon for the LA Local's full daily briefing on what you need to know in SoCal.
Good afternoon, I'm Rob Archer. The governor signed some new AI protections for performers into law. But first, a valet working for Barney's Beanery in West Hollywood brutally attacked. One of the restaurant managers called it an attempted murder. And witnesses say a guy without a shirt attacked the valet. After first attacking two other people on the street, the valet, known as Frank, went out to check on them. When the guy turned on him, he suffered a serious head injury and a broken jaw. The attacker got away. But pictures of the guy have been released. You can see them at knxnews.com right now. And a GoFundMe page has been set up to help cover Frank's medical bills. There are reports of an active shooter at a school in Santa Ana, but police checked it out, did not find anything. Police were called to McFadden Institute of Technology around 2 o'clock this afternoon. The school was put on lockdown. Police led students and teachers out, but they got the all clear a little while later. LA police reported there were some social media threats circulating locally and throughout the county today. Burbank police also reported a social media threat to a school. People now have new protections over the use of their likeness, image, and voice in California. Karen Adams has more.
The governor signed into law two bills at SAG-AFTRA headquarters in L.A. that will give people more power over their voice and likeness. AI was a huge issue in the Hollywood strikes. The union's chief negotiator, Duncan Crabtree Ireland, applauds the new protections.
What I think is so important about it is, for a long time, outside of the collective bargaining world, people have been asked to sign consent forms and other kinds of releases that just hand over control of their image and likeness and voice to companies, and that's no longer going to be possible. Now, going forward, anybody who wants to use AI to digitally replicate someone, whether it's in video, in audio, or in any form, is really going to have to make sure that the individual in question knows exactly what they're going to do with it, with this reasonably specific description language, and that they're represented either by a union or a lawyer in that negotiation to level a playing field. I think this is really groundbreaking.
Also, California law prohibits the use of a dead person's voice or likeness in digital replicas without the prior consent of their estate.
Some evacuation orders for the bridge fire in LA and San Bernardino counties are being lifted. They are now lifted in Baltimore and Wrightwood. LA County has adopted an emergency declaration to repair roads and infrastructure and send mental health counselors to help people who lost their homes. The fires burned more than 85 square miles in the Angeles National Forest and San Gabriel Mountains National Monument. Man from Norco accused of starting the San Bernardino line fire has pleaded not guilty to arson charges and more. Justin Halstenberg's facing 9 charges related to millions of dollars in damages and injuries to firefighters. The fires burned about 61 square miles since early this month. Thousands of people forced to leave their homes. It's about halfway contained. Halstenberg is also suspected of starting 2 smaller fires near the line fire based on cameras and reports from witnesses. They are not related to the 2 big wildfires currently burning in other parts of Southern California, and officials now lifted an evacuation warning for the Lake Arrowhead and Cedar Glen communities for this fire. A former Orange County deputy accused of showing teenagers obscene videos has lost his law enforcement license, is now facing a lawsuit. Justin Ramirez, accused of showing the videos to a group of teens at Tribuco Hills High School in 2022. But a year ago, he agreed to a court-ordered diversion program that let him avoid jail time. State commission has stripped him of his license to be an officer. He's facing a lawsuit from the family of one of the girls he showed the video to. The family says his actions caused her severe emotional distress. Lawsuit claims that a fertility clinic, which has been used by some big-name celebrities, wrongfully threw away a couple's embryos. Natalie Tavidian has more.
The lawsuit filed against the Clinic Reproductive Partners Medical Group, or RPMG, alleges the clinic wrongfully tossed out 16 of one couple's embryos. Melissa Calhoun, the patient, says she went through the egg retrieval process twice in 2021 and once in 2022.
It was both hard because it is painful to have to sit here and recount the horror that we experience at the hands of RPMG, but it is also really painful because I'm speaking publicly about a condition that led me to seek IVF in the first place. All that said, if I don't speak out, you know, where will accountability for RPMG and other clinics begin?
The clinic sent a message to his patients saying they want to reassure their patients that their eggs and embryos are safe and that they've been working privately with the former patient since the day it occurred. They also say they continue to be open and direct in communication and support. I'm Natalie Tavidian, KNX News 97.1 FM.
Well, this week, Mayor Karen Bass planning to interview at least two of the three finalists to be the city's next police chief. Craig Figner talked to Councilmember Tim McOsker about what he's looking for.
I will be hoping for someone who will allow us to sort of turn around the morale in the department. I think morale is down, and I think that is resulting in folks leaving our department, and the numbers of entering our department are not high enough. So I want someone who can improve the morale for everyone. The number one issue has to be bringing down crime.
That said, is it important to you that the next chief of LAPD come from within, or does it not matter to you?
I do think that coming from inside is an important value, because that means you would understand the department. But just understanding the department is not enough. Having a commitment to reform the department, to improve community relations, and to make sure that officers are both held accountable and that the officers have confidence in the system that disciplines them, I think all of that's important. So on balance, that's probably somebody from the inside, but someone who's committed to community policing.
Nonstop News at 5 is presented by My Lemon Law Lawyer. Text Lemon to 40333 for a free case review. Diddy denied bail as he awaits trial on sex trafficking charges. That's our big story coming up as Nonstop News at 5 continues. But first, the Project 2025 blueprint for a second term in the White House has become a major talking point in the campaign. The former president says he's got nothing to do with it. From the proposals from the Heritage Foundation, they include outlawing abortion pills, dismantling the federal bureaucracy, and disbanding the Department of Education. A lot of Trump allies, though, very enthusiastically backing these plans. Charles Feldman and Margaret Quero got more from our Countdown 2024 show from Ryan Walker of the lobbying arm of the Heritage Foundation, Heritage Action.
Is there disappointment at the Heritage Foundation that Trump seems to be trying to distance himself from it?
No, not at all. We have never pretended to speak for President Trump. He was not a part of us putting together this project. He did not contribute to any of the policy items that are contained within the mandate for leadership. Again, we published this book well in advance of President Trump announcing his candidacy. And we've done this, again, since the Reagan administration. And we're very proud of the policy recommendations and how much of our policy recommendations since the time that we started publishing the mandate for leadership, how many of those recommendations have been taken up and ultimately signed into law or effectuated through the White House into practice. So we're very proud of that. But no, we aren't disappointed at all.
I mean, back in 1981, you guys had the first, well, Heritage Foundation had the first mandate for leadership that came out, right? It was published, and by the end of the first year of Reagan's presidency, more than 60% of its recommendations had become policy. Would you say that's the same expectation should Donald Trump be elected again, that at least that much would be implemented?
Well, again, we don't speak for President Trump or a future potential Trump administration, but we would hope that his administration would implement a lot of our ideas.
Do you think then that this whole Project 2025 thing has been misinterpreted by some, perhaps by media? And if so, how?
Yeah, well, I think it's been lied about. I know, in fact, that multiple media organizations have had to issue retractions. They have had to issue corrections. They've been fact checked, on many of the claims. In fact, some of the candidates at the DNC were standing on stage outright lying about what is in the book, despite the fact that you can access that document and read through it yourself. Although most people don't want to because it's 900 pages and that would take quite a bit of time. In short, I think it's been lied about by a number of folks in the media. And it has been those lies have unfortunately spread around the country.
I think you're right that most people have not had the time to read it because it is quite voluminous. Has there been some thought about perhaps shrinking it considerably in size, and perhaps that would lead to a better understanding? Because at its current length, perhaps that's part of the problem.
Unfortunately, the size and scope of the federal government creates the necessity for us to publish a 900-page plus book. There are so many agencies and bureaucracies within the federal government that we legitimately have to work through and publish policy solutions for and suggestions for, I think it does need to be 900 pages. And we're an academic research institution that studies, analyzes, and researches these topics every day, year in and year out. And so this is a cobbling together of over 100 conservative organizations. And I'll note here, too, within the book, there are competing views on a number of these issues.
Countdown 2024 airs on KNX at 2:30 weekday afternoons, weeknights at 8 o'clock. It's also available on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Just search Countdown 2024 and follow the show. Well, Diddy's going to have to wait in jail, at least for now, as he awaits a trial on some very disturbing sex charges. We're going to go in-depth with an attorney as Nonstop News at 5 continues.
The Big Story
on KNX News 97.1 FM.
And back now to Sean Diddy Combs being accused of sex trafficking and racketeering. Comes nearly 6 months after his homes in L.A. and Florida were raided simultaneously by federal agents. Joining us now live, Orange County defense attorney, legal analyst Lauren Johnson Norris. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
So what do you make of the judge denying bail for Sean Combs in this case?
Well, it's clear the judge sided with the prosecution in this case and believes that he's a true danger to the public. His record of obstructing justice, of trying to dissuade witnesses, certainly didn't help his plea for bail. And he even offered to put up $50 million in bail, and the court found that just wasn't enough to make sure that the public is protected from him and his egregious conduct.
And we're told his plan, team's plan is to appeal this no bail ruling. Does he have any chance of getting that changed?
Well, he does. I mean, it would be heard in front of a different judge, so a different judge can consider. But at the same time, we're looking at the same facts. So it is difficult to imagine that that'll be overturned.
Now, he's if it doesn't get it overturned and he's got to stay in jail until the trial, how far away do you think the trial is?
You know, on average, we see sentencing in federal cases take about 2 years. So it's hard to imagine that this will all play out over a period of 2 years, but quite frankly, it could. I mean, if he's in custody, his attorneys are going to want to push for things to be held as soon as possible while they're still able to review all of the evidence and make sure they bring all of their defense motions first. But if he's in custody, you know, his attorneys want it to be heard. If he were out of custody, it'd certainly be less of a rush.
And is there any merit? The defense says that the feds were coming into his bedroom, his private life, and they don't belong there. Any merit to that defense?
Well, it's interesting because in this case, the allegations are so specific to the sexual conduct, right? The government's theory is that he basically did this conduct because of his sexual proclivities. He used his criminal this enterprise of his businesses, his associates, and everyone to bring them into his bedroom and get victims of human trafficking into his bedroom so that he could, exploit that. And so I think there's an argument to be made on the prosecution side that this is relevant, as it's relevant to the extent that it's sexual in that way. Otherwise, of course, a defense attorney is going to say, what are you doing in my client's bedroom? Why are you looking through their things? You know, people do have some degree of privacy, but it sounds like they had warrants and they went forward lawfully and they searched the things that they had, the scope to search.
All right. Orange County defense attorney, legal analyst Lauren Johnson Norris, thank you so much for joining us today.
Great to be with you. Have a great day.
5:20 and time for Your Money. Here's Bloomberg's Andrew O'Day.
More than 3,000 miles separate Alaska and Hawaii at their closest points, but soon they're going to share the same skies. The U.S. Transportation Department has now given its blessing to the $1.9 billion acquisition of Hawaiian Airlines by Alaska Air Group, clearing the last hurdle to the deal. It's conditional. Both carriers have to agree to protect the value of loyalty rewards, maintain existing service on key routes, and preserve support for rural service. For years, Uber drivers have tried pushing the company to enact more safety measures designed to protect them against such dangers as muggings and carjackings. Starting tomorrow, one such measure will take effect. Uber will begin automatically checking passengers' account information to verify identity. Verified passengers will have a blue badge on their accounts. Passengers won't be able to opt out. Ahead of tomorrow's hotly anticipated Fed rate decision, Dow slipped 16. NASDAQ rose 36. S&P up 1.
I'm Bloomberg's Andrew O'Day, KNX News 97.1 FM.
That's your nonstop news at 5 for Tuesday, September 17th, presented by My Lemon Law Lawyer. Text LEMON to 40333 for a free case review.